Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Wrestle Culture.
Hey, hey, can't you see we're a rocking southern pod running wild and free? Hey, y'all listening in your cars, we got Murray, we got Sidra, cause our mega stars. Hardcore wrestling.
Hey, Mickey James, thank you for that.
Go for a wee Toby Carvery after this one.
Little bit of the office banter seeping through.
Honestly, Alexa is as thick as two short planks, man. Can't even play Bad Street USA. We're trying to get it to do that. She's an absolutely useless mechanism. Oh, Perok's why, Jen. She hasn't got a clue who they are.
No idea.
Lucha Gores.
Absolutely no idea.
No.
I tried to get her to play Hulk's the One as well.
It's very wrestling reticent, isn't it? Jeff Bezos.
Alexa hates wrestling. It's official. Welcome to Wrestle Culture. Before we get going, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcast from, because we do daily wrestling podcasts. We do podcasts about Raw, podcasts about SmackDown, podcasts about NXT, podcasts about AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, podcasts that are roundup of the week, complete with really good quizzes, etc. on Wrestle Culture. This is Wrestle Culture, so you're listening to that one right now. I am Phil Chambers. I'm joined by Andy Murray and Michael Sidgwick to talk all things wrestling this week. Not a lot has gone on in wrestling.
It's my issue
starting this podcast.
It is very much December. Very much December. There's no hot news stories. It's always rubbish when AEW is a bit rubbish in the week as well.
Yeah.
You need it for a little bit of serotonin. You get none of that from WWE, so you need it on a frigging Wednesday night. AJ Styles was good value on Raw. That was literally the highlight of my wrestling week, I think.
It's very much been one
of Cody Rhodes set himself on fire.
I was going to start with that one because it kind of makes sense. I was actually going to start with a quote that I've got from Tony Khan, which is back in 2019. And this was after Double or Nothing match between Dustin and Cody. And then after Cody got hit on the head in Fighter Fest. And the quote goes, "No, no, 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 definitely not. This was not TV. This was a streaming show. We wouldn't offer it on TNT. 100% no." Smash cut two. Dynamite on Wednesday.
I love that quote as well, because literally on the first episode of Dynamite ever, who's going through a glass table at the end of the show? It's Kenny Omega, one of his EVPs with John Moxley. What a boy.
So AEW bringing proper hardcore wrestling back to American television.
I mean, it's awesome. That spot.
Yeah.
Awesome and awesomely bad. In response to frequent and resounding criticisms that Cody Rhodes is being a little bit too Cody, he sets himself on fire as he pins somebody else. We honestly, like regular listeners of What Culture Wrestling, will be honestly at this point bored of our attempts to work out what on earth is going on with Cody. I've decided what's happening. He is having his cake and eating it too. He is playing a heel and embellishing his heel qualities to those who want to receive him as a heel, while at the same time recognizing I've still got a following and I still want to be a babyface fundamentally, so I'm going to do that as well. The fact that he's the guy who has the middle entrance tunnel is pleasing himself twice over is only going to accelerate the feeling that people want to turn him heel. I don't know what the boy's doing anymore. I'm the Cody guy, and I've officially lost sight of what's going on.
Aye. He had the top quarter hour this week, didn't he, on Dynamite ratings-wise, so it's not alienating people, at least.
I don't know if it's too hard to get the top quarter hour either when you're doing that kind of stuff. Like, I'm pretty sure anyone doing that is going to catch the eye of someone.
Street Fight in the main event.
Yeah.
And Malakai Black. No, it was MJF who foreshadowed it as well, saying that he was the spark for CM Punk's flame later on. Here we go. Big bonfire. Cody Rhodes taking 90% of the bump and winning anything. It was good banter, but it wasn't good.
It's compelling, but at the same time, what is happening with Pac, Malakai Black, Andrade? I cannot possibly tell you their win-loss records in the win-loss record company, and that for me is just a disaster.
Personally, I'm really looking forward to Pac's eye for an eye match. Yeah.
Well, Malakai Black's talking about toxic gas and stuff now. It's not about wins and losses, it's about toxic gas. So looking forward to the lore of the skunk, I guess.
Oh my God.
He's already got that kind of makeup, hasn't he? So that is gimmick. He's a skunk, and we just didn't know. Like, that's weird.
Why? He's from Amsterdam as well.
Oh, there he is. Well acquainted with playing FIFA.
Maybe that explains why I talk bollocks all the time in WWE and to an extent AEW as well at this point.
Poor guy, man.
Is Aleister Black a skunk smoking skunk? So not only is he not a human being, but he's already non-human mind is altered by substances. And is that why he talks so much bollocks?
It might be like. I'm interested in his lore. Have you seen...
Someone Photoshop a skunk smoking a spliff.
While listening to Skunk and Nancy.
Yes.
With corpse paint as well, preferably. That'd be good. Aye.
I mean, I don't know where to go from that, but...
There's no else going on, is there? Everyone's ready for Christmas.
We've ruined everyone's favourite wrestlers already. It's screwed. We've screwed it.
Sorry. I don't want to take the piss out of AEW.
No.
I don't want to do that, but I feel like...
You just literally spent a year writing a book about this company.
They're giving us no choice at the minute. Like, what's going on?
It's not a great show at the moment.
He's just in a holding pattern until winter has come in and then hopefully boosted up after that.
I think everyone's latest copium is they are running through a lot of star versus not star matches now. Because they're at the start of a pay-per-view cycle and they're going to do massive stuff starting from TBS. There's a lot of, starting from Grand Slam or starting from All Out. And it's like, just start.
Yeah.
I love this promotion. I do. And I know it's just an aberration of a week, but just start.
Yeah. Well, theoretically.
Start being February 2020 again.
Yeah. Theoretically, winter is coming. It'll obviously have Wangman as the banner reads versus Danielson.
Yeah.
The ring match, whoever does the battle royal, maybe Britt versus Riho. It's a good start, but the week to week hasn't been a lot of fun lately. Nah. So
make this fun, Phil. This is a fun banter podcast, isn't it?
Maybe if Tony would start sending the checks a little bit earlier, we'd give him more positive coverage at the moment. But it's just not happening.
It's a bit late. Speaking of really fun wrestling shows, NXT 2.0. Let's talk about this and the big sort of changes that keep on happening down there. There's a whole bunch of things that's happened this week. None of them hugely interesting, but we may as well talk about them because there's not a lot else that's interesting going on. So we've obviously got War Games coming up, which is kind of like the old people versus the new people. You've got Beth Phoenix saying that she's leaving commentary. We've got the rumors of the Cruiserweight title possibly being dropped. We've got obviously Kyle O'Reilly and Johnny Gargano's contract being up very, very soon. They've announced this new next in line college football recruitment thing to get new people into NXT. And all the while, they're kind of consistently battling. After having this whole push of desperately trying to seek a newer, younger audience that's different from what it used to be, bringing in the new fans, they're still battling with Impact as the oldest skewing wrestling show out there.
It's kind of funny that, isn't it? Like, the whole rebrand was, let's get some teenagers, let's make it cool. Let's make
youth.
Yeah, Vic Joseph is wearing a denim jacket. He's like Steve Buscemi in that meme. And the median age like 2 weeks ago was something like 62 years old. So what's going on? To be fair, making it the horniest show on TV every week has seemingly just attracted a bunch of 30-year-old men.
Honestly, the NXT 2.0 audience is your dad having a wank over it's your dad having a wank over Toxic Attraction. Think about that. Your father's doing that right now. It's incredible. It's the best banter of all time, NXT 2.0. It's amazing. Like, Beth Phoenix has left as well. Scotty Too Hotty left as an agent. Yeah. Like, the rats are leaving the sinking ship. It's not a fun operation anymore. That indicates to me, someone like Scotty Too Hotty leaving as a producer, he probably doesn't think that there's any worthwhile element of teaching people anymore, because just do 3 minutes. Don't embarrass yourselves. Don't hurt yourselves. Have a one-dimensional character. Yeah. That's got a big rock hard cock for like all the lasses on the show who are also wet. No, they are. That's all it is.
It's very sexualized.
It doesn't want to be wrestling, and it rules how much it doesn't want to be wrestling. So much so that when they have the audacity to put wrestling on the show, I honestly think, what are you doing? What's
this? I know. I want Tony D'Angelo referencing a different Sopranos cat. He referenced Hesh the other week. He's getting really deep in the lore barrel here, isn't he?
How long can this last, though? Like, the experiment of NXT 2.0, if you look at the ratings, like, nothing's working at the minute. They're still, like, changing new things. Like, how long can this go on for before they have to either do something else or just drop it entirely?
I'm in the process of writing an article entitled 10 Bold Wrestling Predictions for 2022, in which I give the exact end date for NXT 2.0.
So don't give it away, because you want to get the readers. You want to get the clicks.
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's an absolutely unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
A hilarious one. As you pointed out, they wanted that key demographic. It's the most transparent pursuit of it. We've got social Instagram influencers. We've got... I'm 36. Jesus Christ, I've just let that one slip. Social Instagram influencers. We've got social media influencers. We've got skateboarders. We've got tits. We've got...
Sion Quinn, he's sexy.
We've got Sion Quinn who dances and he does sex. And
it's hot.
It's like adrenaline junkies. It's what Bruce Pritchard trying to make physical the abstract concept of what's radical.
Yeah. It is how do you
and
do
it's failed,
kids.
Funnily enough. Yeah.
Band t-shirt or whatever that thing. Music band. It's God,
Poochie.
I'm the meme.
It's the wrestling equivalent of Poochie.
Yes.
It is.
And NXT 2.0 died on its way back to its own planet. I think that as like a boring answer, as long as USA Network feel they're getting their money worth, it'll probably exist.
Did we ever find out exactly what their money's worth is?
Ain't much. I don't know. I don't know, actually.
It was initially reported, I think, that the annual rights fee commanded by NXT was going to be between $30 to $50 million per year. Some internet sleuths realised after packaging it alongside Raw, maybe it's nothing. Maybe they've just said, don't give us anything. We just want this to subdue the rise of AEW on the subject of which, if you want to read all about the rise of AEW, head over to whatculture.bigcartel.com right now to pre-order my book, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW. Copies are running out. Like, legit, copies are running out, so get there soon.
$20 million a year for NXT. I've looked it up. On the wonderful spreadsheet.
Is that from the renegotiated? Because they renegotiated it, didn't they?
This is on the almighty Brandon Thurston's marvelous spreadsheet. WrestleKnowledge. Shout out to him. So yeah, $20 million annually for NXT.
That's
on
absolutely
USA.
Pathetic.
I mean, just the other numbers real quick. SmackDown is $205 million a year. And Raw, because it's 3 hours, is $265 million. Yeah. So there we are. There's your number.
So if you were doing a 3 hour NXT, you'd still only be making $60 million.
Dynamite, for reference, is $44 million a year. I expect all of these to go
up. That is an absolute bargain as well, by the way.
It's undervalued, yeah. There's more detail on the spreadsheet, but you have to subscribe to Brandon's Patreon. I'm not taking his business away. I'm giving him some. Yes. There we go.
Lovely. Nice little shout.
Nice, yeah. Brandon's nice.
He deserves way more of a following.
He does.
Yeah, he does. He's tremendous.
So another thing that we were just talking about in the office earlier, how the hell do you book Mania at this point? Like, what do you have? What is your marquee match that sells WrestleMania over 2 nights in Dallas, in that stadium that seats like 100,000 people, one of the biggest stadiums in America? How the hell right now do you sell that pay-per-view?
Virtually every single year, right, of my professional wrestling fandom, right, there's always been someone that... One of two things has happened is WWE's like fluctuated in popularity. For a while, people were just earnestly into it. It was the biggest game in town. Then it became something pretty rubbish. And then the fans that still watched it were like in defiance of the booking. So one of two things has happened. One, they were simply competent enough to present a potential Royal Rumble winner and a potential WWE champion. And you'd think, all right, well, it's there. Yeah, I can't wait to watch that materialize. Or the defiance era of, oh, it has to be CM Punk. Not one of these old guys again. It has to be CM Punk. Let's cheer for him. Or let's cheer for Daniel Bryan. It has to be him, even though it probably isn't going to be. We need to make this happen. There's no one right now I'm thinking has to win the Royal Rumble or is like nailed on to win the Royal Rumble. Like we're past even the predictable years of, well, it's going to be Roman or it's going to be Triple H to eventually arrive at the Roman match. They've got so little. Usually it's nailed on at this point, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And because it's so directionless and they've normalized everyone, it's so boring. Like, Phil, you're not a complete empty husk of a human being, right? Like I am, having to genuinely watch every minute of this bollocks. Who do you think is going to win the Men's Royal Rumble match?
I genuinely have absolutely no idea. Like, I've been working four-day weeks recently because I had loads of my holiday days left over, so I just went to four-day weeks. And I take Tuesday off, don't watch Raw. Like, there's nothing on Raw that draws me to it. I look at the odd thing on social media and I keep up with it, but yeah. There's nothing that draws me to actually watch that show. And then SmackDown, even that, like, it had its peak sort of earlier on in the year. Like, that's becoming worse and worse every week it goes along. Like, even Roman Reigns, like, you have that guy who's, like, the peak of the company right now, and even he's feeling a little stale and a little boring and a little directionless at the minute, and you're leading into WrestleMania season, so this is when you'd need someone to go up against him. And anyone, like, initially, it was Brock Lesnar, because it kind of made sense. They'd done the... like got rid of him off TV and stuff and like find him and all that kind of nonsense that they just kind of got rid of out of the blue last week. But now like that feels like, is that heading to day one or are they just hotshotting that to bump a rating? Yeah. So is that actually going to be the main event of Mania? And if so, that leaves the Rumble spot wide open, which if you're doing Roman Reigns versus Brock at Mania, then you don't need the Rumble for that. So that's someone going up against Big E. That has to win the Rumble.
Yeah.
Big E versus anyone isn't a big match because they've ruined him as well.
Yeah, the
and then
you
need some kind of big heel to win the Rumble match, which doesn't feel very, yay, WrestleMania, let's
I got
go
a
buy tickets.
Terrible idea. Goldberg. Goldberg is the guy they go to over and over and over and over when they want a little boost. And by all accounts, I think ticket sales are doing quite well for WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's
so
a shame.
Far.
Yeah.
Like
it's
the brand,
WrestleMania, the brand stuff.
Yeah, the brand of wrestling. Like people buy tickets or whatever and then resell them maybe if they're not interested or whatever. I get the impression that they want that. And this Brock Roman feud is good. It's good stuff at the moment for sure. And I'm interested to see what happens tonight. I get the impression they want to extend it all the way to WrestleMania because. Yeah. The Rock's not coming, is he?
So we were going through that earlier, me and Amphlett as well, though. But it's like they've had at least six Roman versus Brock main event level matches within the last sort of 5 years or something. Like, how is that a WrestleMania main event worthy thing at the minute?
Exactly.
Like they just gave it away on Crown Jewel. If they hadn't done that, then because this like the dichotomy is different with the Paul Heyman connection and things. It's like a completely different match. But they've already given that away.
The best version of the Reigns Goldberg match, Reigns Lesnar match was the first one five or whatever years ago. But like for the other match, you can, if you're looking for people, you can traditionally go who's an upper mid card guy who's got good momentum, quote unquote, and who could be elevated. I guess it's Damian Priest. But even then, I don't know. I think the Goldberg button's going to be too irresistible for them. I think Big Bill's winning, and he's going to slap beef with Big E.
I've heard Damien Priest before. I've pitched Damien Priest before. But if you think about it really deeply, it's such a massive indictment of their booking. He's not that over. He genuinely isn't. Doesn't get a huge pub. He doesn't even get, like, he doesn't build a sustained reaction in his matches. It's just, they're kind of there for him. It's basically, you must like him a bit because he was made to Bad Bunny 8 months ago. That's
who wins the Rumble, Bad Bunny.
Maybe Bad Bunny. There but that's go. Genuinely what people point to these days. They play a game of who's the least ruined and who's the least normalized. And if you deduce from that, it must be Damian Priest because he's not really been on the main roster that long.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
He's made some Bad Bunny. And he's tall, so it's realistic.
Yeah. They had the chance for Damian Priest, and it was right after that Bad Bunny thing when he had the world of goodwill coming out of that match. And then he went into like
zombies.
5 months with The Miz.
Yeah, zombies. Like
5 months with Miz and another 5 months with Sheamus.
Yeah. He never loses, I guess. He never loses, Damian Priest. So
Sheamus is a guy you can always heat up no matter what. He's Sheamus versus Big E.
Got a little pal now, hasn't he, for Ridge Holland.
Oh, yeah, they're going, true.
I bloody love Sheamus. That's weird, that story. Really weird.
He's just my hero.
Sincerely, I think Goldberg's going to win the Royal Rumble, boys. So I'm set on this now. Imagine the internet. It's going to be so funny.
Who beats Reigns and when?
Goldberg. No.
Can't be Brock, sure. If it is, let's say it is Brock versus Reigns at Mania.
It's going back. If he wins the title, it's going back on Roman.
Yeah.
They've got no one and they've got nothing and it's impossible to talk about anymore.
Yeah.
That's so boring. It's trash.
Even now that they've been able to raise this Reigns thing to something that pretty much everyone enjoys, like in terms of core WWE viewers, I think you'd be very hard pressed to find one diehard every minute of every week WWE content person who could earnestly say they have elevated this babyface well enough in the background to usurp him. They're going to have to do one of their panic moves with a cash in or another banana peel. Because unfortunately, there's just nothing there.
When's Owens' contract up? That could be a sweetener of the pot. Yeah. Hey, want to win the Royal Rumble? Stay with us.
29th of January, I believe. So what's that, like 2 days before the Rumble?
Yeah.
Hey, big Kev.
A little sweetener for you. Is it even possible?
I think that, regardless of whether or not Kevin Owens stays in WWE, I think any carrots dangled in front of him, I think he's probably wise enough to know, okay, this is a short-term thing. We've been here before. Fascinated by his 2022, regardless of what happens.
And I've run out of things to talk about. Is there anything else that's happened this week?
Nah, let's do a quiz.
Big Swole left AEW. This sucks for her. Like,
yeah,
for
it's her health. That's not really banter podcast stuff, is it?
I know, it's not. No, it's just kind of rubbish because, you know, she seems like a really nice person. And yeah, all the best to her.
All the best to Big Swole.
Let's do a quiz.
Aye.
Yes. Oh, Murray hates doing quizzes with me.
Yeah, you turn into a monster, mate. Like,
it's fine.
It's usually only when there's like elements in the room. There's not elements in the room, only cameras. So there we go.
Oh my God. That's like a win. I'm a winner.
It's only a quiz, mate.
I'll put the quiz there. Quiz nice. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think it is. Maybe so. There we go.
There we are. Okay.
Leave a bit of silence. That'll do. I've not got a 5-star review thing for the bloody good quiz. Does it matter?
Nah.
carry on. Really high effort wrestling culture. Yeah, yeah.
So I am definitely not as prepared as Adam Wilborn at all for this. So I haven't got a review thing that is brought to you by the quiz. So just leave a 5-star review and maybe Adam Wilborn will do it next week.
He'll do two next week.
Tuesdays are long enough.
if he doesn't do two, blame him.
Yeah. No, that's not it. So the quiz today, there was a little hint earlier on with the song and the sort of banter that's been going around the office this week. It's all about wrestlers who have done music.
Hit me with an Every Time I Die question.
There is no Every Time I Die question.
Come on.
It's much more banter than that. So usual rules apply. Shout out your name. First to answer wins. And it's out of 10 and it's all just for fun, isn't it?
Is it?
It is.
Like
well,
for fun, guys.
Not
fun
with this guy. It's not fun with this guy, but we'll see.
Thanks. Cheers.
You're an animal, mate. Like,
So the first question, obviously, is about Hulk Hogan and his pinnacle song, Beach Patrol. And what I would like you to do now is to finish off this rhyme for me, this verse. And I've got some options for you afterwards, but this is the verse. Here we go. So, I was walking down the beach looking for some action, had my radio set on a rapping rock station, saw a girl drowning, sticky situation, she wanted me...
Andy.
Dot, dot, dot. I've got some options. Come on. Oh, do you actually know it?
I know it. To give her some mouth... Oh, she wanted some mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
He does know it.
I said Brute. Get it? Because he's like, tan lotion on her ass that time.
God. Not going to lie, I'm a little bit upset because I wrote some great rhymes. Aww. And now you've just ruined it for me.
Sorry.
Was it Elizabeth? That's Macho Man.
So I'll just go through my rhymes because I'm going to say them anyway. So she wanted me to save her with my sexy gyrations.
Yeah. I think I was going to help.
That's nice. Jeez.
She wanted me to hulkify her augmentations.
What?
Titwank.
Or she wanted me to be a
Titwank
superhero
on silicone
crustacean.
Tits. What was crustaceans?
She wanted me to be a superhero crustacean. I was just trying to think of something else that rhymed with
situation. Lobster. He's been the colour of a lobster several times. Big red man.
1-0 to Andy Murray.
Yes.
On to question two. So this is only as of 2010, because it's apparently really hard to find out how many albums are sold. But how many albums did John Cena sell of his incredible album, You Can't See Me? Was it A, 0.9 million? Was it B, 1.1 million? Was it C, 1.3 million? Or was it D, 1.5 million?
Sidgwick, B.
It's not B. Andy.
I don't have much concept of what is a good record sale number.
A million is going platinum.
Okay. Oh, did John Cena go platinum? Yes, he did. We're going C.
It is C. 1.3 platinum selling.
Hey.
John Cena.
Drawing more than most weekly wrestling shows. Crazy.
So on to Captain Lou Albano, obviously. He actually had an incredible album with some band that I haven't written down, but he has a song called Tiddlywinks TV Spot on it, where he just kind of screams Tiddlywinks over and over again. It's absolutely
Captain
incredible.
Lou, Captain Lou, Captain Lou, Captain Lou, Captain Lou, Captain Lou, Albano.
But this isn't on his album, but which kids show in the 1980s did Captain Lou Albano sing the theme song for? Was it A, the Super Mario Brothers? Was it B, the Legend of Zelda? Was it C, Super Ted? Or was it D, the Real Ghostbusters?
Sidgwick, A.
It is A. He even played Mario in the TV show.
Of course he did.
He did. He voiced it, and there was one where it was live action, and he was in it too.
Eccentric guy.
So 2-1 to Andy Murray. And on to question four. Zack Ryder, obviously, big fan of music. He released a song in 2013. He did.
Oh, yes, he did.
But what was it called? Was it A, the Broski Beat? Was it B, Hit Me Baby Two More Times? Was it C, Woo Woo Woo, which was a cover of Bye Bye Bye? Or was it D, Hoski?
Andy, was it Hoski?
It was Hoski.
As soon as you said it, I had Hoski in my head. What an interesting guy Matt Cardona is. Likes his little toys, doesn't he?
Yeah, well. Apparently he recorded it in his kitchen.
Oh.
So that's something. And then made a video on the beach, put it out, and WWE still didn't push him.
Well, after that, musical classic, how could you?
3-1 to Andy Murray. On to question five. This one's obviously about Jerry Lawler back in his Memphis days.
Oh, good.
He had a song.
Young girl, get out of my mind.
Funny you should
my
say
love
that.
For you is way out of line. You better run, girl. You're much too young, girl. Ymari's young, 23.
Yeah,
big. So that's what I'm referring to.
Big, Neil Sedaka fan, I've heard. Jerry Lawler.
Ymari's young, that's all I'm saying.
Aye. Okay.
Funny you should say that, because back in the 80s, he released a song that was basically just about having sex with women.
Fair enough.
What was it called? Which one of these is an actual Jerry Lawler song? Is it called, I must say as well, like these are all lyrics from the song, so it could be any of these things. Is it A, Wrestling with Girls? Is it B, Leglock Piledriver Lover Delight? Is it C, No Holds Barred? Or is it D, Fight After Midnight?
Oh, that second one is spectacular.
C, No Holds Barred.
That was D. C. No, that was C. You're right. It's not No Holds Barred. Sorry.
What are the other two? Pile Driver, Leg Lock, Lover Delight.
Yep. or A was Wrestling for Girls and Fight After Midnight was D.
It's probably wrong, but I'm going for the pile driver one because it's weird.
Definitely a line from the song, but it wasn't the title. The title of the song was Wrestling with Girls.
Of course, Andy Kaufman.
All about wrestling with girls while having sex. Anyway, on to the next question. Still 3-1 to Andy Murray. There's still time, though. It's all
people
just
who
fun.
Listen to this podcast every week are raging.
So The Undertaker released a song back on WrestleMania, the album. Don't know if you guys are a big fan of that album at all.
More of a, what are they called? Forced entry or something like that. They've all got like wacky names, haven't they? Crush Fest. It's all butt rock.
But which one of these was the title of the song? Again, these are all lyrics from the song. A very lovely 80s pop ballad. It's a bit weird, I've got to say. Was it called Slam Jam Death? Was it called The Man in Black? Was it called C, Dance with the Taker? Or was it called D, Rotting Flesh, Bluing Carcass?
Dance with the Taker. Like it's a swing jam. Andy, I forgot what B was. But
The Man in Black.
I'm going for that. I could see The Undertaker seeing himself as a bit of a Johnny Cash. I'm a cool guy.
Is The Man in Black.
Of course it is.
It does not sound anything like Johnny Cash, though. It's full on 80s synth, just with him every now and then going, Bluing Carcass. For some reason, it's really weird.
Carcass. I tell you, The Undertaker and his lore legacy, he has a lot to answer for.
So 4-1 to Andy Murray. Still four questions to go, so it's still all to play for. As we move on to the next question.
To fall to pieces here, like.
So Vince McMahon, obviously going to go to his classic song. It was released on the, his song was called Stand Back, and it was released on Pile Driver, the Wrestling Album 2 in 1987. But in that song, who played the bass solo?
Sidgwick, Hulk Hogan.
It is Hulk Hogan.
Of course.
Other people were all on trumpets and saxophones, or at least pretending to in the background.
Hulk Hogan, who of course turned down Metallica. So there we go. And he never lies.
And the proof that he can do it is right there on video. 4-2 to Michael Sidgwick. Next question. Terry Funk, prolific artist, released 3 albums. But which one of these is not one of Terry Funk's albums? Is it A, Amarillo Rose? Is it B, Texas Bronco? Is it C, Great Texan? Or is it D, Tougher Than Shoe Leather?
One of the Texan ones. Andy, C.
It's not C. Bombs.
What are the remaining options?
It is A, Amarillo Rose, B, Texas Bronco, or D, Tougher Than Shoe Leather.
The Bronco one.
That was one of his albums. The one that wasn't was Amarillo Rose. It was actually just a track on one of the other ones.
I was going to say, I didn't think he'd make that up.
Yeah.
He's got 12 songs about Texas on one album.
There you go. They literally are, yeah. It's also weird synth pop. It was not what I was expecting.
It would have been like country or
literally,
something.
Literally, the rule of the 80s is that everyone started playing synths to try and keep up. Like everyone, every hard rock decided to get a synth. It was great.
Everyone in the 80s was a one-track lover. There you go.
Oh, God, that's my afternoon ruined. Or saved, because I'm going to put that on repeat.
Get in.
2 questions left. 4-2 to Andy Murray. Murray's still all to play for. I don't have a tiebreaker, though, so if it's a tie, everybody wins.
I will have a wrestle or something.
So on to it. Everyone's favourite wrestling-themed band, Peroxy Gen, obviously.
Hey!
They've also released 3 different albums, but which one of these is not a Peroxy Gen album? Is it Plurality of Worlds? Is it Within the Cygnus Rift?
What does that even mean?
Is it C, Procession of the Equinoxes? Or is it D, Spawn of Me?
Sidgwick C, Equinoxes.
That was one of the albums.
Of course
afraid.
It was, man.
So I actually looked at Peroxy Gen on Spotify yesterday, but it only had 2 albums, and the Cygnus one was definitely there. What are the other 2 remaining ones?
So Plurality of Worlds or Spawn of Me.
Ah, well, them's weirder, because he's a weird guy, Jeff Hardy.
He doesn't know what these words mean.
Doesn't. It sounded cool in a textbook he read once. plurality of words. That word. I didn't even say that properly.
It's that not one. The plurality of worlds. Spawn of it's me. Spawn of Me. That was actually Jeff Hardy's first solo EP.
Was that synth pop as well?
I'm going to say I did not listen to that one.
He's some boy.
So Andy Murray wins, but there's still a question left, and it's just for fun. So this is obviously from Randy Savage's rap album. Why not? In 2003, the perfect time for Randy Savage to be releasing a rap album. This is from the title track, Be a Man, which is basically just a massive diss track to Hulk Hogan.
Be a man, Hogan.
So I want you to complete this lyric again, and I've got some more options for you. So, hot diggity damn, Hulk, you set it off. Used to be hard, now you've done turn soft. Doing telephone commercials, I've seen ya. A, pimping out what's left of Hulkamania. B, dancing in tights as a ballerina.
C, B, dancing in tights as a ballerina.
It is dancing in tights as a ballerina.
I know, I'm savage.
I'm going to go through my other rhymes, though, because my C was going to be, and singing with babies for air conditioners, because of that Japanese thing. And my final one, my favorite one, being a racist and getting subpoenaed.
Get in.
Foreshadowing the future with that lyric there, Randy Savage. Yeah.
4-3 to Andy Murray. Congratulations, Andy Murray, for winning this week's Pretty Good Quiz.
Is that more fun?
Yeah, I mean, it was good because you lost.
Well, who's the dickhead now?
It's only when you win that you're a bad guy. Like, when you lose, you're all right.
I would have been nice.
That was a very good quiz.
I did enjoy that quiz. That was awesome.
I'm glad you did, like, the bad wrestling music and not, like...
Not the good, famously not good wrestling music. Yeah.
The great array of classic wrestling albums that are out there.
That's like, Every Time I Die, oh, good.
Yeah, Pie by The Rock, of course.
Of course.
Horrendously racist that it is. Jesus.
Wyclef Jean and The Rock, you can never forget that.
That one's good. That's, you know, on the curve. It's
Bad Street USA earnestly rules, as does Free Bird Road.
Yeah.
As an actual composition with, like, it's a cheesy as hell song, but it's well written.
Leo Rush does music. Has anyone ever heard
any of
it? I've not heard it either. We're kind of clutching at straws. The thing that we've not heard, that might be good.
How about you send us your favorite wrestling artists and songs that we might not have heard? Yeah. Maybe good ones.
Oh, how could we forget Fozzy?
Roddy Piper's good. I'm your man.
I've never heard it.
It's not great.
Oh, okay.
I just like Roddy Piper.
Send over your wrestling suggestions over to us on Twitter. You can do that to Andy Murray at...
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Hosky.
And you can send them to Sidgwick at...
Sidgwick.
And you can send them over to me at Fill My Chambers. And you can send them over to all of us at What Culture WWE. Like I say, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is that you happen to listen to all your podcasts from. And give us a 5-star review, because it always puts a little smile on Adam Wilbon's face. And I think he likes it.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much of a smile on his face. He's an actual hound.
Thank you very much for listening. This has been What Culture? Wrestle Culture. That's what it is.
Dave Meltzer.
Go listen to more podcasts. How do you end a podcast?
Wrestle Culture Pro Wrestling.
Let me check my notes here. Russell's papers for 5 minutes.
Have yourselves a bloody good day.
We love Dave.
Bye. Wrestling!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.